I'll just do this. Good morning, everyone out in cyberspace, and you, our viewers. The Lumens are out today. They're, I think, with John Kashura's fellowship, and they'll be back sometime this week. I'll be sharing this morning. And I just wanted to... Were there any other announcements? No? Okay. I did want to make this announcement because it's actually been on my heart all week, and we'll take up the offering for missions after the sharing. But I just wanted to talk a little bit just about that, just make an announcement concerning that. And I've been thinking about it, and the offerings for the missions go well beyond what we fathom or think. And I think that's the way it is with the Lord, with anything that is of the Lord. We think, you know, this will be the final end of it. This is the purpose for it. And the Lord just kind of goes beyond that. He does that all the time. One of the things that's kind of that I've been thinking about concerning, especially the Bible school there in Mexico, is that I would say about 90 to 100% of the graduates upon graduation go out into full-time ministry of some sort. And their training literally begins the day they enroll. That very day they begin training to go out into the ministry. And I'm really thankful to the Lord just for the opportunity that's present there for this gospel. And I say this gospel because it is the gospel of God, the eternal gospel of God, which is His Son Himself. And I'm so very thankful that there is an open door for this for CMI and for all you who support us through missions, just for that. Because what's happening is not only, you know, are we going down like twice a year and doing Bible conferences, the very week, the first week of each semester. So each new group of students, the first thing they hear when they come to this Bible school and enroll is Christ. And throughout the semesters, I teach a class with them right now, and they are getting just the same. And it's a consistency that I've seen that's made a huge difference, and several others have, but I mean, I personally have been able to see that difference in their lives. And I say it's such a great opportunity because what's happening is they're not only hearing the truth as it is in Christ, but there's ground being prepared in their hearts by just even the words, the teachings, the sharings, the sermons, and all that doesn't amount to anything except that the Holy Spirit can take it and use it to prepare the ground of their heart to reveal the Son in them. Several of the questions that I've received throughout, you know, the years of the students have almost refined and been refined. One of the last couple of questions that they asked me, they just wanted my commentary on some verse. But the way they presented it was just like this. Jimmy, we know what you teach. What do you think about this verse? There's a contrast there that they recognize between what they have heard in the past and in what they are currently hearing right now. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of going on with this. It's only an announcement. But just to let you all know that you who support the missions, that it is going way beyond what you think, way beyond what I think. Because what's happening with each generation that's graduating from there, the Spirit of the Lord has a greater opportunity to prepare the ground of their hearts to reveal the Son. And when the Son is revealed, they will declare Him to this generation and every generation following. So I'm really thankful for that, just with everything that's given in support of the missions. Because as I stated, it goes well beyond what we think and even, you know, what I know. And it does affect others. And I do know it will have an effect. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we do have such a open door into a Bible school where the graduates will be full-time ministers. And the Lord willing, if He's so merciful to do so, they will be ministers of Christ. So there is my announcement that I just did want to make. Because I've been considering it just the end of last year and the beginning of this year to now. I've just been thinking about that. So it's a great opportunity for the Lord, not for us, not for fellowship, not for an individual. It's a great opportunity for the Lord. So what I do have for this morning, I was really kind of going back and forth with, because I listened to actually the last time that I shared in Sunday, and we were talking about Abram and mentioned, you know, about his journey and about how it affects us in this way. I've been looking at it with Abram's journey like the journey of an individual believer, the journey of the heart. And basically, it is a journey of repentance. What I mean by that, the heart finally, once again, turning unto the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord appears. The very first time the heart turns to the Lord and the Lord appears, it is the moment of new birth. But the moment of new birth is just so that the Father can reveal the Son now where He is. That's the whole purpose for the soul of man, for God to reveal His Son. But God can only reveal His Son where His Son is. So therefore, you must be born again. And I think Jesus said it that way to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so there's a purpose for new birth. It's seeing. Well, you can say it's seeing the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is a person. It's Christ Himself. Because Jesus also said, they are they that testify of me. Excuse me. Oh, did you need a cough drop? Okay. I've got plenty. I come prepared. But here recently, I would say towards the end of last year, I've just been seeing how that the Lord made promises to Abram. And we'll look at the verses here in a little bit. They're in Genesis and in Acts. But more so, it's the Lord declaring to His own Son. And that is what it is all about. It is all about the Son of the living God. while Daniel was leading the worship this morning, two different passages came to mind that are really on my heart. Well, actually, not necessarily the passage, but just what it means. Excuse me, I didn't have a chance to. I didn't have a chance to search this out beforehand. But whoa. That's a lot of verses. The verse that I was thinking about was this. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And this is basically what happened. Saul was anointed king. And I believe this is the very first thing that the Lord sent Saul to go do. The Lord said, okay, have Saul do this. Just that one thing. God wanted Saul to do just one thing. Just have Saul do this. And I think it was destroy all the Amalekites. Leave nothing, just destroy it all. Well, for one, Saul was to be a testimony of Christ, where only Christ remains in the land. That was to be a testimony to the Son. Well, we know that Saul kept the best, but it was for the Lord. It was, I believe, what Saul thought he could do in his best effort of what was available for the Lord. But here's the verse. It's 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And what I was actually considering this morning, before even driving to come up here, was basically this, and I won't have time to search out the word, but I think I've already searched it out before. That word obey, I believe, is the same word that King Solomon uses when he asks of the Lord, give thy servant. He says this, thy servant is but a child. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. And it says the thing pleased the Lord. I mean, listen to it. I've got to look at that verse. As I said, I didn't look it up this morning, so forgive me for that. And I'm not going to find it. Rats. Give me just a second. Yeah, here it is. It's 1 Kings 3:9. Let me just mark these down. As I said, I didn't have these particular verses written down. Forgive me for that. This is 1 Kings 3:9. And what was that other one? It was First Samuel. Yeah, 15:22. Thank you. I didn't write that one down, but now I'm on a different verse here. Okay. here's that passage at 1 Kings 3:9. And I'll start with verse 7. It says, and now, O Lord, and this is Solomon, you know, speaking to the Lord, his prayer. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father. And I'm but a child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Give therefore, and verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And he goes on, and I've also given you all this other stuff. All this other stuff that you never cared for, that was never really on the forefront of your heart. Hey, it's there to be added. But it pleased the Lord what Solomon had asked. And here's the thing. The word understanding, that's the exact same word that we found in Samuel. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey. And all it is a heart that turns to see the voice. That is what it amounts to. It is a heart that turns to see the living God. That is all that it amounts to. Everything, even all these studies. Look, I've got this folder here. Studies, classes, notes. I mean, diagrams. Everything. To God, it means nothing. It means nothing. All the searching, all the studying we can do, it's nothing. Unless everything that we've done, unless the Spirit of the Lord can take it to prepare the ground of our hearts for this one thing, to turn to see the Son. And see, that's what it pleased God to do in Paul, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. And then it goes on. And then listen, then all the other, so that I might preach Him. But the goal wasn't so that I might preach Him. No. The goal was to reveal His Son in me. Right here, even with Solomon, it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. This one thing. Just give me a heart that'll turn to see You. That's it. Out from that, there was understanding to discern judgment. Out from that one thing. It all boils down to just seeing the face of Christ. As I said, these classes that I've been doing, and it's really neat how the Lord put them on my heart. It was actually in July when I started these classes, last July. And He kind of put it on my heart this way. It was that all that my studying, all that my searching was going to do one thing. It was going to be there for the Holy Spirit to use as tools to prepare the ground of my heart for greater appearing of Christ. That's what it's there for. He made it so clear to me what this particular study that I've been on is for. It's to see Him. It's not to teach a class. It's not to teach a sermon. It's not to go out and reach the world either. Earlier, I was just talking about the opportunity that's present there at that Bible school. The opportunity is present that the tools can be there that the Holy Spirit can use to prepare the ground of their hearts so that the Father can reveal the Son. The effect of that, they will preach Him. We were not purposed for the effects. We are not purposed for ministry. We are purposed for the appearing of Christ. That's it. That's it. And I love the Lord who is so faithful. His Holy Spirit is just so faithful to the Son that at any given moment, at any given time, He's there to direct the heart unto the face of Christ. It's what he does. There was one of the songs we were singing also, Comfort. I'm trying to think of the song. Brought comfort to his crushed ones. The consolation of Israel is Christ. Christ himself. The consolation. The consolation that is given of God. The wisdom that is given of God. The understanding that is given of God. The life that is given of God. The salvation that is given of God. The purpose that is given of God for the soul is Christ himself. It's all wrapped up in a person. And I don't even know how long I've gone. Forgive me. But I do want to make that very clear, that everything that is done for that end and that purpose, because that's the end that God determined before he even created man, that everything would come unto his son, that everything would be brought unto his son. Now, as I said, I've been on this study for quite some time with Abram, and I've been seeing it just the way it's been on my heart, as one of, like a believer, from beginning at new birth to the purpose, coming to the purpose, coming to the end, which is the appearing of the Lord. And we saw that with Abram. I think the last time I shared, we came to at least the first appearing of the Lord when the Lord brought Abram into Canaan, because there's several verses and I'm not going to try to find them, but that there are several verses where it says the Lord brought Abram, or it says how I brought you. And it's always that way. It's always the Spirit of the Lord. See, we can come to things, right? We can come to things, but except the Spirit of the Lord bring us, we cannot come to Christ. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And see, we can, in our own ability, come, and just like the rich young ruler, leave. But when the Father draws, he draws for a purpose, not to just come, but to behold the one unto whom you have come. There's a huge difference. We can come to the Lord for, that's we, that's us. When the Spirit of the Lord brings us, it is with purpose that the Lord appear. So the Spirit of the Lord brought Abram, the Lord himself brought Abram into Canaan, because that was the whole purpose. Get thee out of thy land, out from thy kindred, unto. It wasn't just get out. No, it was unto. But to come unto the land I will show thee, you must get out. Can you hear it? For this purpose, what I will show thee, you must be born again. You must come out. So, he comes out. And we all know, I think it's in Genesis 11, the last couple of verses, it said, and they came out to go unto the land of Canaan. Purpose. And we know that they camped out in Haran, I don't know how many years. And forgive me if I've shared some of this already the last time. I can't fully remember, but I know I shared something along these lines. So if it's real along the same lines, there you go. But they stayed in Haran. They were purposed for Canaan, but they stayed in Haran. With Abram thus far, I've seen that the Lord only appears, except for the very first appearing of the Lord, the God of glory appeared while he was in Ur. It's like new birth. God of glory appears. Christ himself, the glory of God, appears at new birth. But the very next appearing, and every appearing thereafter, as far as I've been reading, only happens in the land. Only in the land. When Abram camps out in Haran, the Lord doesn't appear there. It doesn't appear there. But the Lord speaks to Abram. And the Lord, see, that's the faithfulness of God to the Son. He doesn't change his mind. He repeats it all over again. Get thee out of thy land, from thy kindred, and now he adds, from thy father's house, from the place of your abode, where you abode, unto a land I will show thee. God doesn't skip a beat. He continues faithful to his end, his purpose, that which I will show thee, the land that I will show thee. And then I've read several commentaries that say this about Haran, that the time that Abram spent in Haran are summed up as wasted years. Just think about that. Wasted years. Why? Haran, I'm not sure if I shared it the last time, but Haran basically, and I've read this in commentaries also, was basically the bridge of Mesopotamia and the Mediterranean Sea. It was the bridge between what Abram came out of and what Abram was supposed to come into. So at that time, when he was in Haran, Abram was neither out nor in. He was just in limbo. Now, with a believer, I'll just say it this way, it's just the understanding. Why? At the moment of new birth, Christ is in you. And because Christ is in you, dwelling in your soul, you are in union with the living God. It is of God you are in Christ Jesus. Man can't change that. We can't change that. If we regard, all right, we can't do anything about reality. Reality is the same because Christ is present. Christ is the reality of God. We can't change that. Even if we don't even understand that, even if we don't believe that, even if we don't even know about that, reality hasn't changed. Even if the heart is far from the Lord, reality hasn't changed. But the Lord is faithful to His Son to draw all the attention of our heart and place it upon His Son, Christ Jesus. He's faithful to do that time and time and time again. So there's Abram in Haran, and as I said, the commentators, they call it wasted years. Why? Because he has not yet come, bless you, to the purpose for which, listen to this, God called him. God called Abram with a purpose, with an end in view. And until he came to that end, until he came to that purpose, the commentators say, those were wasted years. Now, I will say this. Yes and no. They were wasted years. Why? Because Abram had not yet come to the end. But, because it's not in the power of man, it does not revolve around man, or man's ability, or man's work, I would say that it was also a time of preparation for Abram, where the Spirit of the Lord was preparing the ground of his heart, where he could finally turn unto the Lord. And see, once the Lord appears as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, who's present, and we see that in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who's present, when that happens, all time is redeemed. Now, my searching has come to its end, has come to fulfillment, has come to fruition. All my searching, all my studies, all my notes, everything. When the Lord appears, now all that's been redeemed. All that has now served the purpose of the Lord Himself appearing. That's another thing. And forgive me if I did already cover this the last time that I shared. But also, when the Lord appears to Abram in the land of Canaan, It says the commentators say it this way. When the Lord appears to Abram in Canaan, this basically sanctifies the land. This has now determined the purpose for the land. The Lord's appearing in it. That set in motion the purpose for the whole of the land. The very appearing of the Lord. Once the Lord appears, now the land is sanctified. Once the Lord appears, there's another word. Sanctification. I'm missing it, but it's almost similar to sanctification. Redeemed. It's not redeemed. I can't think of it. But it basically sets the purpose for the land once the Lord appears in it. It basically says, this is what the land exists for. And that's made known at that time when the Lord appears. It's always existed for that, even though Abram didn't know it. See, that's another thing. In Hebrews, it says our father Abraham, when he was called to go into a land that he should receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing. And see, the Lord says, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. That's the only expectation that the Lord gave Abram. A land that I will show thee. He knew nothing about this land. He didn't even know how to get there. He didn't know what he would find when he would get there. He didn't know what the results, the effects would be upon him or in him when he did get there. He didn't know what he would find. He didn't know what the Lord would show him. He didn't know, listen to this way, he didn't know what it was all about. Don't you love that? So therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, he went out not knowing. He didn't know what it was all about. Like, he didn't know why he was called of God in the first place. He didn't know why God called him out of Ur in the first place. The only thing he knew was that a land that the Lord will show me. That's it. A land that the Lord will show me. That's all I know. I think if Abram were rounder right now, and I don't know, preachers, scholars maybe, or not even scholars, would just come up to him and present to him, and forgive me if I've already said this, but it's on my heart. And just ask him, hey Abram, so I hear you're born again. I hear that the God of glory appeared unto you. So what do you know? What's new? Abram would probably say, because the writer of Hebrews declared it, you know what? I don't know. Well, what has God called you for? Don't you know your calling? Well, yes, he did call me. And he said that he would show me a land. He called me into a land that he would show me. He called me unto something that he himself, and only he himself, could and would and desires to show me. As far as the rest, I don't know. Nowadays, we would say, well, Abram, you're just a child. You're ignorant. You don't know anything. And then in our own ignorance, we would go on, here, let me show you, Abram. Let me show you what it's all about. And we would keep Abram in Haran with our concepts, our thoughts, our understanding of what we believe God desires to show. But I love it. He went out not knowing what he would see. He didn't know what it was all about until the God of glory appeared. And see, that's the thing. You look at that word in Genesis 12:1, get thee out of thy land, from thy kindred, unto a land I will show thee. The word show thee. The very next time it appears in the scriptures is in this verse where it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now, I believe Abram was probably surprised. My God, it's you. What you wanted to show me is yourself. I didn't know that. I thought you wanted to show me something for me. Something that could be mine, that I could take with me. I'm making fun of myself. No, what he shows is not so we can take something for us. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. This is stuff like this will be automatic when the Lord appears. Everything is sharing, the ministry, whatever. Why? Because from that, when the Lord appears, from that point on, if it is the Lord, it's not your sharing. It's not your ministry. It's just not you at all. I love that. I love that. That's why it becomes unto us, because we acknowledge, we confess that it is clean, that it is holy, because it's the Lord Himself. And I love that. That's what the Lord purposed Abram for. And see, it's not only Abram, but in type, it's the soul of man. Purposes the soul of man for one thing, the appearing of his son. That's it. I've said it this way. That is why we are where we are, whenever we are, however we are there. That's the purpose why we're there. That's the purpose even why us who are here here this morning, and you there who are viewers who are viewing, that is why you are where you are. Now, I will say this, purpose doesn't change. But what if you don't know the purpose? See, purpose was always there even before the Lord called Abram. While he was in Ur. While he was in Ur, hey, he was an idol worshiper. He had no concept of the living God. Didn't even probably, I'm not sure if he knew if there was a living God or not. He probably had the altar like they did at Mars Hill to the unknown God. He was an idol worshiper. He worshiped several idols. But he may have had an altar there even to the unknown God. This was before the Lord appeared. But see, God's purpose doesn't begin when he calls Abram, when he appears unto Abram, when the God of glory appears unto Abram. No. Purpose has always been there. Because the purpose has always been the appearing of Christ. The purpose has always been the Son himself. So whether Abram heard or not, purpose is still there. So, now Abram's, I'll just say this in type, because that's how I've been seeing it, born again. The purpose is the same. He's in Haran. Nothing has changed. The purpose is the same. Get thee out from thy land, from thy kindred, unto a land I will show thee. It's always that. Unto a land I will show thee. And of course, the Lord shows himself. The purpose hasn't changed. And even as I was just stating it, a while ago, see, where do you think it's? I'm thinking of it this way. Though purpose has not changed, it was more likely that Abram would continue on if he was in Haran versus if he would have remained in Ur. Correct or incorrect? Correct. All right, sorry. Let me slow down with that one. Purpose doesn't change, but Abram, I say it this way, and I can be completely wrong on this, but I think, as of right now, to this date, January 2015, I think that Abram would be more conducive to continuing on unto purpose while he was in Haran than if he had stayed in Ur of the Chaldees. And what I mean by that is this. What I mean by that is this. God's purpose doesn't change. We're here, us here in this building, with that one purpose. The Son, the Father, to reveal the Son that's present. That's the purpose. That was the purpose before we were here. Richard and Judy, you guys just came here. That was your purpose before you came here, whether you knew it or not. That was a purpose before you were born again. Or I'll use myself. Purpose before I was born again. That was a purpose for my soul. Because it's not only for my soul, our soul, it's a purpose for the soul, period. Whether the soul is aware of it or not. Now, the Lord brings Abram to Canaan, because Canaan is more conducive for the appearing of the Lord. That's where the Lord appears. That's finally when the Lord has drawn the heart, the attention of the heart, to such a degree that the heart finally turns and Christ appears. And that is what it's all about. When the heart finally turns. Now, finally Abram comes to see to some degree, comes to know to some degree what it's all about. And we know as it continues on, you know, the passage, if you continue reading it, it says that then there was a famine in the land. And then he goes on and continues all the way down to Egypt. Bless you. Was Abram perfect? No. But he had seen the one who is. Listen to this. Abram, they call the father of faith, the father of the faithful. Was Abram faithful to the purpose of God? Had he been, he probably wouldn't have gone down to Egypt. No, but he saw the one who is faithfulness. The Lord is faithful to his purpose. The Lord is faithful to his end. And that's why it is not dependent upon us. The Lord will do with or without us, period. Because we can't do it anyway. As I stated before, it's only an opportunity that's present that the Holy Spirit can take the tools to prepare the ground of our heart for the appearing of Christ. That's it. These studies, these searches, these reading will not produce that. No, it will not produce that. Except the Spirit of the Lord take it and use it to prepare the ground of our hearts for the appearing of His Son, for the appearing of Christ Himself, the Son of the living God, then it's not going to happen. Then it won't happen. There was, I can't remember if it was an open forum that we did a while back or something was going on, but Kay sent me a text and it was through the internet. My phone was off. My phone was off, but I was running through the internet just to check the line. We were having problems with our signal or something to see if the signal was still going. But it was funny. I mean, she's humorous and she said this. You need to put a button on the front page of the website that says, have Christ revealed, press this button. To have Christ revealed in you, press this button. Yeah. No. It's funny. No, it doesn't work like that. To have Christ revealed in you, study the scriptures often. Study them daily. Search them out. You know, buy you a couple lexicons. Get a good Bible program. No. No. To study this, to have Christ revealed in you, take all these notes and create all these diagrams and all these maps and search it all out with the original terms and the original texts and blah, 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 and be able to recite it left, forward, and backwards and sideways with the commentators. No. No. That's why I love the prayer of whom the scriptures consider the wisest man on the earth, Solomon. When he has his prayer unto God, thy servant is but a child, and I know not. I know not how to come out nor to come in. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart. What is he saying? I don't know how to do it. It's not in my grasp. It's not in my ability. But it is in yours. And it pleased the Lord, the thing that Solomon asked. Anything, you hear that? Anything and everything that we do, listen, anything and everything that we do is what the scriptures call Ishmael, is what the scriptures call disobedience. I'll say it again. Anything and everything that we do is not what God ever wanted. It pleased God that he asked this thing. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me, that's what pleases God. And it's not a one-time event, because the Lord is a person. He's not an event. Though events testify of him, though times testify of him, though places testify of him, though peoples, lands, though it all testifies of him, he is not an event. He is not a peoples. He is not a land. He's a person. And I love it that the whole purpose of God for creating the soul, as I'm beginning to see with Abram, is wrapped up with Abram. There's the, what's the term? I can't even think of the term. I know there's a term for it. But there's something that's significant with Abram. I mean, if you just think about Abram, you may think, okay, he's the father of faith. Okay, that's good. But with Abram, you've got to think of the appearing of the Lord. Because that's really all that happens with Abram. This significant is when the Lord appears. In Acts chapter 7, it says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abram while he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. What was significant during the time he was in Ur? The God of glory appeared. What was significant while he was in Haran? The Lord spoke to him. He heard the voice. He didn't appear. The Lord didn't appear while he was in Haran. All he did was hear the voice. Praise God that the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with his heart to cause him to turn to see the voice. And he did. All his time in Haran was redeemed when his heart turned to see the one who spoke to him. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. And then it continues significantly throughout, while he's in Canaan. And see, first and foremost, and I think I did share this last time, first and foremost, Canaan is a picture, is a type of our soul. It's the promised land for the seed who is Christ. God promised the heir and inheritance. That's our soul. That's our soul. And you could look at it this way. There are no Squiddies, there are no Amalekites, there are no Hittites, there are no Hivites, there are no otherites in Christ. The land is his. Now, please listen. When the God of glory first appears in the soul of man, he is born again. And because the Lord has appeared, just as in the type with the tabernacle and the temple, the moment the God of glory appears, all humanity is out. Everything of man is out. everything is out that is not Christ. He does the same picture is picked up with in the Gospel of John. When Jesus enters the temple, grabs a whip, drives everything out till only he remains in the temple. Now what is needed? That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that fills the earth may now govern. The heavenly declaration is found in Isaiah, and this is when it didn't seem naturally so. But nonetheless, in Isaiah chapter 6, the heavenly declaration is there. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is, not will be, not was, is presently, currently filled with the glory of God. And that, don't need that anymore. That brings us to Abram. And why I say that? Because, as I stated, first and foremost, the soul, the promised land, is the soul, is a picture of the soul for the seed to come and inherit and take possession of. That is what it is, first and foremost. It is for Christ himself to come and appear in his land. When he appears, hey, it's all his now. For the born-again believer, the journey of the heart is just that. When the heart turns to the Lord to see the one who's present. Now all these other things which are just our concepts, our illusions, our imaginations, they're there too. Until the Lord appears, then they're not. And I say it in this way, they govern, they're not there. They govern until the Lord appears. And here's I love this order, and I'm not sure if I've seen it with any other appearing of the Lord in the scriptures thus far, but because I'm with, currently the Lord has me with Abram, this is where I'm seeing it. Immediately after the Lord first appears unto Abram, he builds an altar. Because now there is something governing in Abram of not Abram, but the Lord Jehovah. The Lord. Not Abram, but the Lord. The Lord appears. Now there is something of the Lord governing in him. He builds an altar. The altar, it's not but. Not I, but other. And see, it just didn't end with that first appearing. And that's why I love Acts chapter 26, verse 16, James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta, which he declares to, you know, the Lord Jesus is speaking to Saul of Tarsus, Paul, who will later be Paul. He says this, I have appeared unto thee. Purpose. I have appeared unto thee to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. Why? Because you're currently a minister of what you have been witnessing. And you are a false minister because you are a false witness. Praise God that he appeared. So Jesus appears. Well, that was before he appeared, right? But now, hey, everything changes when the God of glory appears, remember? Saul of Tarsus, he was going on his merry way to go persecute the church. Just like always, going to serve the Lord because that's what he did. He served the Lord until the God of glory appears. Everything changes. Of this, and the verse goes on, of this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. At that point, it was no longer Saul, but it was the Lord. Now, he may not have been fully walking in that understanding yet, but that was reality. That is reality. The moment of new birth. Okay? With Abram, the Lord appears, he builds an altar. And as I said, things aren't, Abram's not perfect. The perfect one has appeared. And now something of that one who has appeared now governs him. the altar. As he goes on, the Lord appears, continues in the appearing of the Lord. In one of those appearings, his name changes. Thy name shall no longer be called Abram, but Abraham. As he continued in purpose, as he continued in the appearing of the Lord. See? Now more of the Lord is governing. More of the glory of the Lord that is present is now beginning to govern Abram. And that with us the same. And it should be, and it should continually be. Because that's it. It's not, we're not purposed for the appearing of the Lord as this or this. No. We are purposed for the appearing of the Lord. God the Father determines how we shall see the Son. Don't you love that? I don't determine that. I can't say, well, I'm going to see the Lord as, or I've been doing this study here, and I'm at the end of this study, I'm going to see Christ as ... No, I don't determine that. Unto a land that I will show thee. And he went out not knowing. And the Lord, listen, the Lord brought him not knowing. We don't determine what appearing of Christ we will see. God determines that. It's the Father who reveals the Son. It's the Father who reveals the Son. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that he's faithful to his Son. He always has been. It is him who is faithful. It's not us. In his mercy, he calls us before we're even born again to bring our soul unto purpose. In his mercy, he continues. And I think it was John Gill who said it of Abram. I mean, think about it. Each step of the way to get Abram out of Ur, to get Abram out of Haran, to get Abram out of Egypt. I mean, he ran the gauntlet. He did it all. And I think it was John Gill who said it this way. It is a great mercy of God that he be our guide. Why? Because we could never get or come to where the Lord would have us come except God himself bring us. We could never come on our own. Except he bring us. We could never come on our own ability, except he bring us. With man is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's a great mercy of God. I didn't get to the other part of where I'm currently at, but that's okay. That's all right. But it all revolves around the Son. It's all the Spirit of the Lord brings all. Gathers all attention and places it upon the Son himself. You see it at the baptism. The Holy Spirit draws all the attention of the heart, places it upon Jesus. And I think John the Baptist, it was either John the Baptist or the Apostle John who wrote it. Somebody said it. And the Spirit of the Lord abode and rested upon him. Him. Not a this, not a that, not a teaching, no. Upon a him. It never becomes, well, with the Lord, it's never about a teaching or a sermon or a theology or a message or a particular code or way. It's all about a him. It's all about a him. It's all always living. And so I'm very thankful to the Lord just for that. That he's faithful in our own hearts to keep it where it is, the person of his Son. So, if the Lord wills, I may get another opportunity sometime, maybe this year, to share just a little bit here where it is seen. Well, I'll just go ahead and read these verses, because as I said, I've been on these studies for so long, and I've just been seeing how it's the Spirit of the Lord bringing the soul of man, bringing the heart of man unto reality, then unto the seeing and knowing of reality, Christ himself. But I'll read these verses just to like leave you with this, because as I stated, it is all about the Son. All about the Son. And this is Genesis 1 through 3. And it's the Lord speaking to Abram, but I just want you to hear the words of this. Don't think of Abraham, don't think of Abram, don't think of man, okay? And the Lord said, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them who bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is Acts chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. And said unto him, get out of your country and from your kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. And then came he out of the land of Chaldees and dwelt in Charan. And from thence with his father did he remove into the land wherein you now dwell. And listen to this. And gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And just recently, and as I said, if the Lord wills and I get another opportunity, I'll probably share more on this. But just recently, I've just been seeing it as the Father speaking to His Son Himself. Jesus, the seed, the Father, the farmer about to sow His seed into the earth. And what hit me, what really got my attention to just see it that way, was where He says this. Basically, the Lord says, go out from your country, your kindred, and from your father's house. And it just hit me. It's more so. I mean, we know it's all about Christ, the Son of the living God. We know it's about Jesus. It's more so about Him. It's more so than what we even understand or conceive. It's more so about the Son. But I just love that, because then it goes on to say, I will make you a great nation. I'll increase you is what it is. I'll make you an increase. I'll make of you increase. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. You shall be the blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And I just see that as the Son Himself. The Father speaking to His Son, even before the foundation of the earth, saying, I'm going to send you and go. And the Son being obedient, He does. You know. So, forgive me that I didn't get that far with it, but I just did feel that just enough to share just with us that the Lord is continually faithful unto His end and His purpose. And as I stated, it's the end and purpose for which our soul exists. Wherever we are on this planet, whatever we're doing on this planet, it all has to serve that end and that purpose. And by the Spirit of the Lord, in God's tender mercy, it does. And then everything is redeemed when the Lord appears. It's no longer wasted time. I mean, I look back before the time I was born again. It was like 19 some odd years. And the first thought that came into my mind was, why didn't I do this earlier? In my mind, it was like, I wasted 19 some odd years. Why didn't I do this earlier? Well, I couldn't have. My heart was not prepared to bear such an appearing of the Lord. But I thank God that he continued faithful during all that time until it was, and I was born again. And then it goes on and continues now with knowing the one who is present. Just everything preparing the ground of our heart, being used as a tool of the Holy Spirit to prepare the ground of our heart for yet a greater appearing of Christ. So with that, I'll end it. I don't have any other more announcements or anything, but I think that's it. Let the Lord do what he desires to do, and let us pray that he would do what he knows he desires to do. Remember, what he knows he desires to do. So with that, I'll leave you all. May the Lord bless. Amen.